Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another round of Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports. The very best in sports and opinion with your host, Bill Emerson. Phone lines are now open at 646-595-2677. Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Rarely Right, but Never Wrong. Of course, I am Bill Emerson. I'll be joined here by my co-host in just one moment. Barry, are you there?
Yes, Bill. Go right ahead.
This is why we live in Arkansas. Beautiful pre-fall. I'm calling this pre-fall day. 76 degrees. We'll get down to 50 tonight for some pleasant sleeping. But this is one great day here in Arkansas, isn't it, Barry?
I think this is the Indian summer that's worse. Valued for here in Arkansas.
Yeah, it sure is. This is why we live here. Clean, lovely, and this time of the year is just beautiful here because the leaves will change pretty soon. Barry, we got a lot to talk about, but before we do, let's tell folks how they could join us. Two ways. You can dial in 646-595-2677. Again, 646-595-2677. You'll be first up today on our phone lines, or you can email us at ebill, that's E-B-I-L-L, 2003@yahoo.com. Either way, we'd like to have you with us and participate in our program. Big news this morning, Barry. We saw it coming yesterday, you said. Randy Moss to the Vikings for a third-round draft pick. I'll let you have the floor, Barry. You start on that one.
Well, I may be mistaken for another person because I really didn't see it coming. I thought the they come off their big win last Sunday and go 3-1. It looks like the Jets and Patriots are competing for the Eastern Division crown in the AFC. Then Randy Moss, one of their bell cow might be the wrong thing to say. He ships off to Minnesota. That's one of those things that Tom Brady, you know, if you check with him before you make any moves, especially on the offensive end. So I guess this got the okay from Brady, and they thought he was going to be too much of a disruption in the locker room, so he goes to Minnesota. Doesn't look like they're going to get a whole lot for him, but it may be a case of addition by subtraction.
Well, I don't want to – that's the one thing I didn't want to hear, addition by subtraction, because you can't subtract a Randy Moss, who is still a top-five receiver and still has a couple of good years left in him. There's nothing you could do. A fourth – if you addition by subtraction probably doesn't work here. But I will tell you something, at halftime of that game, him and the offensive coordinator got into a heated battle because he had one pass thrown at him, didn't catch a pass the whole game. You could see this coming after the first game where, after the first game, which was a win, he was still complaining. So what is your feeling of what he will bring to Minnesota?
Well, he'll get to recharge his batteries, you know, and he's just – he's about to the point now where he just can't throw a uniform on and expect to be the number one option out there. So, you know, he just has to really go out and prove himself in practice and games and just not be upset if Favre doesn't look at him the first two offensive series. You know, he just must continue to work hard. And then I think the offensive coordinator in the press box may get the word to Favre that, you know, that Moss is – beginning to get open 15 yards, 20 yards down the field, you might take a look at him. He's just really going to have to work hard by keeping his mouth shut and maybe letting his work ethic speak for how many times he should be, you know, looking to catch the ball.
Well, I'll tell you something. Last year of a contract, he probably doesn't have a great big contract left in him, pro football speaking, but he has a nice medium-sized one somehow if he can get through this year. And I'm going to say that, like, Favre is like Jordan. Players, when they got to Chicago, had bad reputations. They didn't keep those reputations bad for very long. They left and got them again. But when you're there with Brett Favre, you can't go into the huddle and tell Brett Favre, you got to get me the ball right now. He's going to look at you like you're an idiot. Brett Favre will do what's good for Brett Favre and for the Vikings. If Moss is open, he'll get him that ball. And I think this is a great move for the Vikings. On a scale of 1 to 10, Barry, where are you going to put this move, first of all, for the Vikings?
Right now I'm going to give it about a 5. Now, it could pan out to be a 8 or a 9. You know, the proof is going to be after a couple of ball games. Let's see where Minnesota, they need a vitamin shot. They need a shot in the arm. They're straggling along here a little bit. But I think it's more of a – I like it for the Patriots. You know, Tom Brady, we talked about before, he's my fantasy quarterback. And you would think that having him as a fantasy quarterback, his TD passes would go down a little bit. I don't think that's going to be the case.
No, they might well stay up there, Barry. You might be right on that. I'm going to give this a 7, and I'm like you. I think it'll be an 8 or 9. He's already better than any receiver they have on that field until Sidney Rice gets back. Sidney Rice will be back in about 5 more weeks. I don't think he's going to be back in 3 weeks like everybody's saying. I'm thinking 5, although it might well be 3. I'm just guessing. I think that he'll be a big plus. It won't take him long to get into that offense. I can tell you that right now. Him and Brett Favre will work hard. You don't have to worry about Brett Favre being a hard worker. I don't think deep down you have to worry about Randy Moss at this time of his career being a hard worker. I think he will come out there, something to prove. I like the move. But this is the genius of New England. They acquire Moss 3 years ago for a 4th-round pick. In that 3 or 4 year period, he catches 300 passes. Maybe not the best years of his career because of what happened at Minnesota, but still very close to the prime of his career. Use him up, or use him as they do, and then this is what New England does, and now they get rid of him for a draft pick. It happened with Richard Seymour. It happened with Mark Vrabel. I can give you 5 more guys like that. This is why New England is successful years in and years out, because they know when to get rid of players that may still have something left. Seymour still has something left, but maybe not quite as good. Right, Barry?
Well, Belichick gets a lot of credit and deserves a lot of credit, you know, for the way things are handled in New England. And this could be, you know, if they continue to win, their special team, Brady has 1 touchdown pass on Monday Night Football versus the Dolphins, but their special teams picks up 3 to 3 or 4 more touchdowns. So I think it's one of those situations that might work out well for both teams.
Yeah, I think it will. But I particularly think it will work out well for the Vikings. I think this is a smart move. They wanted Vincent Jacksonberry from San Diego. We all know that. Couldn't get him. Settled, they're saying, for Randy Moss. But I think Randy Moss, with something to prove, can really give them something special. So I like the move. We got to get to more pro football. I'm going to remind everybody, no show tomorrow because Barry's going to be tied up with some things tomorrow, getting ready for a big volleyball game over here. We'll get to more of that at halftime, halftime of our show. But tomorrow, or Friday, we'll have our show. It's what we call 5-on-5, 5 pro games, 5 college games. We pick them. We dig into them a little. We think that's a great show, 5-on-5. I'm going to give you just something to whet your appetite a little bit here. I think Kansas City is going to beat Indianapolis. But we got to get back to more pro football news here right now, Barry. Michael Vick, out 2-3 weeks, cartilage damage to his ribs. He was on a pace, Barry, like it or not, to be considered in the MVP voting, don't you think?
Probably early season, you might look at Kansas City, even though they don't have any outstanding stars. Pittsburgh was undefeated there. Chicago was undefeated, but Michael Vick was probably, you know, as far as a comeback player of the year, he would have to be comeback player of the year. He looked great running the ball. You know, it's one of the reasons you need a backup. Kevin Cobb, he was thrown out in the trash can, 2 weeks ago, and it was all going to be Vick's team. It looks like he's going to get his chance.
Well, DeSean Jackson, a wide receiver you and I both like for this team, came back to the huddle. They show him in the huddle telling Michael Vick, you got to start going down. You just can't run over people. Do you think that's the enthusiasm he's gotten after 3 weeks of starting and being successful after his years in prison? Or do you think that they'll never be able to teach Michael Vick to run out of bounds, Barry?
I think he just gets so much speed going. A lot of quarterbacks, you know, they never rev up their engine to go full speed down the field, you know, vertically, and he just becomes a runner, and the shoulder pads and equipment for a quarterback are non-existent because they have to have their shoulders free to throw the football, so there's not much protection there like you see some of these big Ricky Williams type of backs. And I think he just brings so much resistance and momentum every time he runs the ball down the field, and he gets hit so hard, harder than most quarterbacks get hit, that he just got what takes one good hit, and he took it.
Boy, he did. Here's what I ask, Barry, after watching the rest of that game and the first game of the season for Philadelphia. What were they thinking that Kevin Cobb could be a starting quarterback? He's looked terrible. His passes look wobbly. There was a wind there, and I will give him that. It was a very windy day there. But Michael Vick is not known for to have a strong arm. His passes were zinging there the first quarter, as were Donovan McNabb, who is known for having a strong arm. I don't think Kevin Cobb can win in this league. Do you, Barry?
Yeah, well, it's a team effort, you know. He's just going to have some help. You know, he's got some good receivers and some back, some guys in the running backs that are really good. So, he, you know, for a quarterback, a lot of times to have his confidence going, if he can get a 100-yard rusher in the backfield to help him out a little bit, a nice tight end across the middle where he can make some 5- and 10-yard completions, then I think that can really help him out. So a lot of times quarterbacks just got to have a team effort. Then maybe they can get in a 300-yard ball game as they get their confidence. But I think he really has to have the help of his offense.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Trent Dilfer, people always point that out to me, won a Super Bowl. He was not a great quarterback, but he had one of the great defenses of all time with him. Even Jim McMahon was not a great quarterback at all, but he had a great defense. If you don't have the great defense, you have an average defense, probably above average with the Eagles. You still have to have a much better quarterback. I don't think Kevin Cobb can play in this league as a starter. I'm just pointing that out to people. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week. Barry, if you had gone in August to Las Vegas and asked for odds that Kansas City Chiefs would be the last undefeated team in the NFL, what odds do you think Las Vegas would have given you?
Well, if you laid down a dollar, you probably would have got $150 back. So I'd say about 1 to 150.
Yeah, it could have been. I could have been higher than that. I think you could have got maybe 450 or 500 even for a smaller bet because they don't care if they lose that. But I'm just saying, this came out of nowhere. We both said we thought we're kind of Kansas City people up here. They're not my actual favorite team, but I thought they'd be better. And I'll tell you why. They had a little bit of talent last year, I thought, and they gave a good effort. But they brought in Charlie Weiss and Robeo Cornell. Now, those two guys both tried it as head coaches, didn't make it as head coaches, but as offensive coordinator in Weiss's case, and in Romeo's case, he's a defensive coordinator, they're top of their game. This team is an improved team, Barry, on both sides of the ball, isn't it?
I think both those guys are really, really key. They don't have to wear the hat of the head football coach. You watch Kansas City on TV and still Todd Haley still gets a lot of the press coverage and they still show a lot of the camera on him. But Weiss and Grinnell are getting to do their work in and nobody's really looking over their shoulder so they can put in their, you know, probably 18-hour days and trying to get their teams prepared, especially on defense. Grinnell really deserves a good job for what he's done there. So, yeah, I think he got three head coaches, and one of them just really, he's got his ship sailed pretty good right now. But the other two, Weiss and Crudell, have been able to just work as hard as they want to without anybody and being the head coach. So they deserve a lot of credit.
Well, this is exactly what Todd Haley, as a young coach, needed. Two guys on each side of the ball that can really point things out to him, do a lot of the coaching, so he doesn't have to worry about every play on offense, every play on defense. Let them do what they have to do. He'll take over the general. He's in charge. There's no doubt about that. Also, I'd like to point out to you, Scott Pelosi, new GM there, son-in-law of Bill Parcells, longtime assistant GM, again, part of this this New England. Haley, Pelosi, Weiss, Cornell, all part of that old New England team that they had put together as far as the upper management. Boy, sure doesn't it doesn't hurt to have those guys. Why I like, just real quickly in 15 seconds, why I like Kansas City to beat Indianapolis, You pointed it out already, Barry, even though you probably don't realize you did. They had a bye week. Romeo Cornell, who has always played his team's good against that Indianapolis offense, has had literally 10 days to practice against Indianapolis. That's a big plus, don't you think?
Yeah, Indianapolis gets beat a last-second field goal by Scobie, 59 yards. But I look for Indianapolis to come back and win this thing by 10 to 14 points. I think Manning he's got to get to where he's looking at the panic button. He's not pushing the button yet. I know a lot of the fans around here are rooting for Kansas City, and I really don't care either way. I like Manning and the Colts also, but I kind of think Peyton Manning and the Colts are going to rebound and knock the Chiefs out of the undefeated.
Friday, this will be one of our feature games. I could really argue with Barry on that, but I'm not going to right now because it's halftime, Barry. Time for a short commercial. We'll be right back. More pro football, some college football, maybe even a little college basketball if we have time. We'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Are you in the mood for hot, delicious pizza tonight? Well, in Green Forest, there's only one place to go, Pizza Pro and Movie Time. They offer the best in mouth-watering pizza, great sandwiches, and healthy salads. While you're there, pick out a movie from their large selection of the newest releases. That's Pizza Pro and Movie Time, 870-438-5457. Owned and operated by Barry Mullen, coach and sponsor of the North Arkansas Fever girls basketball team.
So, Barry, I'll give you 1 minute here to tell us what your special is and a couple of movies. I saw you got some good movies over there today. Go ahead. What's going to be your special here, and how about a couple of movie suggestions?
A large sausage pizza, and we had a really busy Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend, so really, really excited for the past weekend. Large sausage pizza is $11.28 after tax, and we got the new release DVDs that come out every Tuesday. And very busy also for beautiful weather. The big movie is The Karate Kid with Jackie Chan. That was released on Tuesday. The Nightmare on Elm Street, which is a retelling of the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie. And 30 Days of Night, Dark Days, a sequel to 30 Days of Night. So Robin Hood also came out a couple of weeks ago. So we got a nice selection, we hope, for the people this week.
And that Jackie Chan, The Karate Kid, starring Jackie Chan and Will Smith's son, correct?
Yes, it budgeted. This is budgeted for $40 million, and then it box office gross in the United States only $176 million and another $200 million overseas. So that's really been a good boost to the distributor of that company.
Yeah, and I haven't heard a bad thing about it yet, even on TV or anything. Everybody seems to think it's a great movie for kids and adults alike. Barry, I want to get back to Monday Night Football if I can. Chicago's quarterbacks sacked 9 times in the first half. Cutler out with a concussion for this week's game. How does a quarterback get sacked 9 times, Barry, in just one half?
Well, you've got 5 down linemen and a tight end, maybe a running back, so you think you get everybody covered. But the defensive blitz schemes are getting so tough to pick up nowadays that your running back a lot of times almost has to be like an offensive lineman. You're blitzing people from the linebacker position, the corner position. Now, they're putting so much heat on these good quarterbacks. Cutler's got a great arm, and it's pretty cerebral in the pocket, that you just got to put pressure on him. If he gets hurt, you know, that knocks him out of the game. I don't think a defensive coordinator minds that so much, but I think it's the defensive coordinators putting together good packages.
But there's got to be a way to keep people in. You just can't let your quarterback get hit 9 times. I'm going to agree with half of your statement, Barry, which is about half more than I normally do. And I will tell you right now, he does have a great arm, but he's not cerebral. He throws lots of interceptions normally. He's got to get rid of that ball quicker. I will tell you a name. I'm going to give you a name that somebody told me they think he might end up being like. And that name is Jeff George. What do you think of that?
Jeff George was known as a rocket arm first, but then he's not a really big guy. You know, he's always getting knocked around, had some success. He really has a nice NFL resume. Cutler would probably want to do a little better than that, but he was a little guy with a big arm.
Jeff George went to about 7 different teams, couldn't get back in the league because simply he wasn't cerebral. He had a strong arm, but he was not good at getting the ball downfield. with any precision, and he would just take hit after hit after hit. I don't think he had a good resume. In fact, when you start comparing players to Jeff George, that tells you something what people might be thinking. Here's another one, Barry, a quick one here. John Beningo, you know who that is?
No, sure don't.
He's the Dolphins special teams coach, fired Monday night, after Monday night football, because his special teams gave up 21 points. Two block kicks for touchdowns and a 103-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Barry, you can't – we always talk about offense and defense, but the special teams in pro football – often the deciding factor, aren't they?
You know, we still look at – I know you like the Dolphins coming into the season. I kind of went along with the Patriots, and that's no disrespect toward the Buffalo and the other team I'm leaving out. It's a good team. The Jets.
Jets are leading that division.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're 3-1, the Patriots and the Jets. But, you know,
right.
The Dolphins, they really have intentions of, you know, winning that East. And, that's a pretty tough fire, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you cannot do that. You cannot give up all that. You are not going to keep your job. Like Jerry Glanville said, NFL, not for long if you screw up in the NFL, is it, Barry?
That's exactly right. I agree. Glanville's quite a character with the old Houston Oilers, but he's right about that, not for long.
No matter what you do, it's such a big business, they will not take it. That can cost everybody their job, that loss. When you can't give up 21 points on special teams, just impossible. I want to get to college football real quick here, Barry, if I can. Les Miles, worst coach in America as far as time management, the last minute of the game?
Well, he's the luckiest coach in America. You know, he kept his job after the Ole Miss blunder last year, and luckily escapes. You know, it's all about winning ball games, so they're sitting pretty right now at 4-0, I guess. But, he's got to know the game of football. He was successful at Oklahoma State and been relatively successful at LSU. And
what
I think he has
Yes.
So, I don't know. I don't think he would have a lapse because he's bound to be at the top of his game, probably in his late 40s, not quite 50. So, Been better to be lucky than good.
Why don't they, Barry? It's a multi-million dollar business down there, and LSU is crazy about football. Why don't they spend $125,000 and hire a coach on the sidelines to take care of just situations like this, telling him, hey, you got three timeouts, here's what we can do, that kind of thing, Barry. Why? Les Miles just seems to get so flustered there at the very end. What happened, folks, is Jordan Jefferson got tackled at the 1-yard line with 28 seconds left. They barely got another playoff in their win. Then Kentucky had 13 people on the field, so that cost them. They had actually, or excuse me, Tennessee, and that actually cost LSU. They scored a touchdown because they stopped the game. In other words, Tennessee had stopped them, but they had 13 men on the field, gave LSU one more chance. There's got to be something there, Barry. You can hire somebody, get a young assistant there just for those situations, couldn't you?
Yeah, he's on a banana peel. I don't think there's any doubt about it. He really can't afford a big upset anywhere the rest of the season. You know, he'll have Arkansas in the big boot game at the end of the year, and SEC championship looks like it's going to go through Alabama. So he really just Ole Miss and Mississippi State. He needs to beat Arkansas. He really some people got him in the sights right now, so he really can't afford another mistake.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Barry, I don't even have this written down for our notes for today, but at the beginning of the year, what SEC coach did I tell you that was going to be in trouble this year?
Well, Les Miles was, you know, certainly at the top of the list, I think. I can't – nobody –
No, I said Mark Rick.
Mark Rick, yeah, Mark Rick at Georgia. I would hate to see the Athens newspapers right now or any of the radio shows. You know, they probably got him out the door right now.
I think Mark Richt is a good coach, don't you, Barry?
Well, you know, you're only as good as your last game or your last season, and he had an okay season last year, but his last few games, he's really stumbled. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, he wouldn't stay unemployed for very long. I was saying on another show that that I believe that a team like Colorado, who is probably going to fire their coach, even though it's ironic, Colorado beat Georgia. I think he could find a job in a hurry. The LSU job is more difficult because they have to pay Les Miles, I think, $16 million to get out. But in all the LSU blogs I've been reading, the guy they want, John Gruden, to come in and coach that team. Kind of an interesting pattern there, Barry. And I think Gruden would be a heck of a college coach, don't you? He was mentioned as the Tennessee coach before.
Yeah, Gruden's like everybody's favorite uncle or everybody's favorite big brother. You just can't help but like the guy. He does the high school football team. He does the NFL program, won a Super Bowl. You know, he's got a Chucky look to him. So, yeah, he'd be a really good fit at LSU or just anywhere in the SEC. I would like to see him land a job.
Yeah, I would too. If he took that job, Barry, before ex-NFL coaches in the SEC, I think. That makes it pretty tough. Another guy I'd like to talk about, I didn't have this written down, but Lane Kiffin, they got beat on the last second. USC got beat on a last second field goal by Washington. When he walked off the field, he still had two timeouts left at the end of the game. That's bad coaching too, don't you think, Barry?
Yes, I set up late and watched that one, and Locker really made a great drive taking Washington down the field, but he was milking the clock for all it's worth, and you knew that the Washington coach was playing it so he wouldn't have any time left on the clock, even though he made a nice long field goal. But, yeah, he should have been burning his timeouts to give his chance that team to have the ball in case the field goal was made.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. That didn't make any sense to me, simply because you could see the last thing that Washington wanted was to give the ball back to USC, even with 35 or 40 seconds on it. Here's a coach on the way out, Mike Loxley at New Mexico. He's going to be out. He probably won't be out. He probably won't last even till the end of the year. At home, Barry, New Mexico is 1-16. He had an incident with an assistant coach. They've been outscored by 40.4 points per game at home this year. The defense gives up 52 points a game. Offense, lowest in the nation, 3.7 yards per play. That, I'm going to tell you who's going to take that job, Barry, if they get rid of him. Go ahead. Tell me, you know anything about Mike Loxley? I know he was an assistant at Illinois for years. You know anything else about him?
No, not – I mean, anything west of the Big 12, you know, is kind of more your territory. You spend a lot of time out in the southwest, so not too much.
Well, I'll tell you who's going to take that job. I don't care if that job opens in 3 weeks or a month or at the end of the year. Mike Leach of Texas Tech, you mark this down, Barry, I'm saying this on October 6th, is going to take that job. Perfect for Mike Leach. Gets back in the southwest area where he has great recruiting ties, can build a program from the bottom. That's their pick for that. I don't know if they know it yet, but I'm going to tell them. Mike Leach, get him back into football. What happens at Texas Tech, hopefully it was an aberration. But the guy paid his penance. He's been out a year. Would you hire him at New Mexico, Barry?
Yes, I think, you know, he comes within an eyelash. He beats Texas, you know, at the end of the season and then gets beat, you know, the following week, you know, back in his heyday. But had Crabtree at receiver and the good quarterback. So I think he'd be a great hire.
The first thing he'll do, too, is he'll put in that offense, get some high school quarterback out in New Mexico or out in the plains of Texas who threw for a lot of yards, put him in that system. He'll be successful again. Barry, we got one big game this week in college football. I'm going to let you make the pick because we're down to a minute. Florida State at Miami. That's going to be it for today, and you tell me who you like there, Barry.
I sure miss Bobby Bowden on the sidelines. So, it used to be Miami with multiple coaches versus Bobby Bowden, but I like Ja'Cory Harris. I'll take Miami by 2 points.
Yeah, I think I will, maybe by a little more than that. I think Randy Shannon's doing a good job there. I like that game. That's one we're going to talk about on Friday in depth, folks, 5-on-5 Friday at 3 o'clock here on Rarely Right But Never Wrong Sports. Barry, that's it for today. We're out of time. But I hope we get to listen to everybody, or everybody will be here again on Friday at 3 o'clock, and we'll be right back right then with a lot more sports, particularly college and pro football. Barry, I'll see you Friday.
Okay.
Bye. world.